Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Well, so let me just start this show off with an affirmation and a testament of what I see the... I'm trying, as you can tell, I'm really trying to pitch this, you know, from the seat of my pants in such a way that you, one, get the irony, but you should get the urgency. Because, a good leader gets people to move. And you know, a good leader motivates action. And so I have to basically say, Joe Biden is a great leader for his enemy. Because there is no doubt that those who love the Constitution, those who love liberty, should be getting more and more motivated to getting up and acting. Now, the question is, why aren't we seeing this? Why aren't we seeing, because there's, and I honestly think it goes down to this train of thought. Before we get into the train of thought, I want to go down the obligatory path, because it's Feedback Friday. And so I kind of want to get into the feedback first, but get into this paradigm of, you know, we've got a great leader out there that's motivating us to actually get out there and stop him. I mean, it's almost like he's got this little chip of wood on his shoulder, says, go ahead, try to knock it off my shoulder. Folks, we presented on January 3rd this year precisely what you could do and what you have to do if you want to get rid of the Biden administration. Get yourself into signing this petition. Reach out and support the Paul Venable for Senate campaign, or the Missouri Wins campaign, I think is what he's titling this. And actually, I say America wins if he gets elected. And I just say that because I'm not going to take a job with Mr. Venable. My intent is to, you know, hold him accountable. And here's a guy that's begging to be held accountable. He is the exemplar. Because when it really comes down to somebody that wants to be accountable to the Constitution, and folks, do not think that just because a person doesn't say they want to be accountable to the people and only accountable to the Constitution, you have no better public servant when they are accountable to the Constitution, when they hold themselves to that standard and say, I will support the Constitution. Because the Constitution, the way it is designed to protect all of humanity. It's not going to give you an advantage over anybody else, and it was never designed to do so. And the fact is, when government starts getting involved and creating advantages and creating divisive policies and all of the things it's doing, it is only an indictment that we've gone this far down this road of tyranny. And we're at our utter destruction. But let me, that's the topic of what I want to rant about. So, as you know, this show is also sponsored by RepublicReview.org, and we would also ask you to get yourself a subscription to the Wyoming Conservative Chronicle. This still is the only show that provides you the academic evidence and evidence-based solutions, and Timber Nation. I actually just called and spoke to Chris Futig. I'm hopefully pronouncing his last name correctly. He's the proprietor for Timber Nation. He's got, you know, it's a family operation. He's got a lot of things he's doing. They're working heavily and hard, and they're producing great products. He has the photos. So he has the photos of our broadcasting desk, and I would invite, you know, once he puts them up, I'll just say, go check it out. I mean, it's a simple desk. It's really kind of more of like a table with some built-in shelves and stuff. So it's very simplistic. It's I don't want to say it's a minimalist type of desk, but it's perfect for what I need, because I need tabletop space, but I don't need depth. You know, I need linear, but not depth, if that makes sense. Anyway, go check them out if you're looking for good quality hardwood furniture made in the USA. And I talked to him about his prices, And he basically said that, you know, because he's independent and everybody that he deals with that is independent, their prices really haven't gone up that much. So if you want to get yourself some hardwood furnishings, and if you still have disposable income, because Biden hasn't successfully sucked up everybody's disposable income and hasn't basically brought everybody financially to their knees yet, then and you're hoping to have something this year before Christmas, you probably want to get your orders in immediately. Anyway, the other thing we want to basically help you understand, Ad Local has a campaign website that is a turnkey campaign website that they're offering for $2,500. And I know we're really late to the game, but they're going to be offering this. And the reason this is important, because we're basically pitching and what we're going through and going through these petitions and helping you develop constitutional counties. This is a two-year strategy. If you're planning on running for county commissioner or planning on getting involved in county politics and you want to have a solid, I'll just say a solid support and foundation, you need to start getting involved in creating your unorganized militia for your county. Now, if you want to call it something different, that's up to you. I don't care about labels. What I care about is the essence and substance of what you're doing. We don't want you to be calling it something that you could actually put yourself at risk, such as a committee of safety. Using that term and using some of these, the assemblies and these other things that were government of foregone things that we basically evolved from into a representative government. We are no longer in the monarchy world, my friends. And so anyway, when we move forward and we help you, it's up to you. You can call yourselves whatever you want. There's a group in California that they're using the Constitutional Association. As a matter of fact, they are looking to create chapters, or they're looking to expand into other states, in helping educate and helping promote that, just like the National Liberty Alliance. I don't care if you call yourselves the National Liberty Alliance for the county, because, you know, in talking to John Durash, his intent is not to try to create a money-making system, and that's why he doesn't have dues for the National Liberty Alliance. He does have, I think, premium membership, that type of stuff. But bottom line, folks, if you're going to start getting active and you're going to start doing constitutional stuff and helping promote the petitions and the constitutional movement in your county, I would highly recommend you go and create and get yourselves a campaign website. Even though you're not running for office, get your name out there, you know, put your name into this and basically say, you know, let's just say, you know, Billy Bob Thornton, because, I'm just coming up with a common name, Billy Bob Thornton, you know, for the county, or just BillyBobThornton.com. And then you can basically create that as your base. It'll give you your email address. I mean, everything that you need incorporated into your own domain will now be available to you, and you'll be able to move forward. I tell people all the time that if you don't have your own name domain, then somebody else could go out there and create that and actually wreak havoc on your reputation. So do this and Ad Local. I believe it's $2,500, and I think that's a year. Reach out to them and get the pricing. But if I remember correctly, I think the $2,500 was a year website support. They're basic. And go price this. I've talked to other people. I mean, this is a very reasonable rate. Most other places, it seems like it's $4,000, $6,000. I had one person tell me that they were quoted $12,000 for, you know, almost the same thing, offering a little bit more. And I'm telling you, Ad Local would probably do that, you know, for a little bit more in cost, you know, like the social media marketing, that type of stuff. So anyway, let me just kind of plow forward. Now that we've got that done, we've got our comment lines. And so what we want to do is we want to get into, you know, some of the feedback. And as far as I see the feedback for Feedback Friday, we have won some races. As a matter of fact, Tony Randolph won his race out of South Dakota. Unfortunately, Mike Mueller did not win his race. He lost by a few. We didn't get a chance to work too much with him because Mike was just way too busy. And I need to reach out to him. I need to, you know, talk to him and see what his plans are. But I do know that there was some, I don't want to say there was ground gained, because actually in South Dakota, Noem actually won the primary, which we weren't supporting Noem. We really wanted to see Haggard, the challenger, you know, basically knock her off. She comes across as a great conservative, but she is the antithesis of a supporter of the Constitution. And Haggard would have been a much better solution. Why did he actually go down this path, you know, in running his campaign the way he did? I don't know. I'd love to talk to him afterwards, because I think he should have been far more aggressive. Folks, when it comes down to a campaign, you can't be nice. We need to stop being, you know, that devil going into the temple, you know, trying to just sneak around. We absolutely have to, you know, let people know we're there, and we're there with authority, and we know what we're doing. When Christ went into the temple and he addressed those concessions, those vendors that were selling their wares, I mean, he wasn't nice. He put them in their place. And that's what we need to do. So when we come back, we're going to get into what I'll say, some of the Feedback Friday. I just want to give you kind of some updates and conversations and some thoughts, and then we're going to get into the oaths. So hopefully I can do everything in one segment of the Feedback Friday, because it's like everybody is really caught up in election season. We'll be right back after this. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the republic review model, on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so here's a question I have for you based on conversations I've had. I've had direct feedback, and some of the stuff I definitely don't want to necessarily make you privy to, because when people talk to me in confidence, they, you know, are assured and have my confidence. And so anyway, are most people in America pessimistic or optimistic? In other words, in looking at what the patriot movement and patriots in America, are they pessimistic or optimistic? Because if you ask me, a pessimist basically is more concerned with the problem. oh, no, look at this. This is terrible. Oh, look at what Biden's doing. Oh, no, we're all doomed. It reminds me of Gulliver Travel, where that one guy goes, we'll never make it. I mean, you have that guy in your midst, and you just want to, you know, gag him and shut him up because he's not helping. So, but the question is, when we really look at your behavior, and this is, I think, insightful, because this kind of came to me when we were talking about, you know, people and what's going on and, you know, why is it that we're not getting this real wave of people turning away from, you know, the news cycle and being caught up in watching this train wreck continue to occur instead of actually getting out of the way and getting involved and actually preparing for, you know, one, the damage, as well as stopping it and actually overcoming this so that we take full control. I mean, we're laying it right here at your feet, the solutions of what you have to do. And an optimistic person would go, wow, this is great. Here's the opportunity. But most people go, oh, no, it's all about the problem. And, you know, it's just getting worse. So the question is, and I believe you, if you listen to this, and you've been listening to the show on a regular basis, and some people ebb and flow. And as a matter of fact, I get that feedback. You know, I've been listening, and, oh, man, I need to get back to listening because, you know, you really go through details I've never learned, I've never heard. You provide, you know, these insights that, you know, I've never thought of, you know, and actually there's nothing special about what I'm offering. I'm only providing you the framer's insights. And I try to make sure when I read these things, you realize that reading these things yourself can actually get you there. Don't take my word for it. Take theirs, because they're the ones that really knew. I mean, it's not that I don't know. I mean, I've learned a lot in going through these things. I hate to just, you know, toot my own horn and say, you know, I am the foremost authority. But I do realize that I'm in a space where not as many people are in. And so I'm here to help you get there. I'm not a rocket scientist. I'm not the smartest person in the room. And so I know that you're more than capable of being in the space I'm at. So if we want to end, and what I'll create this metaphor, because if we kind of go to an amusement park for pleasure, you know, and you get on a roller coaster ride, it can be very exhilarating. But we've been forced onto a ride that I will just say is a roller coaster ride to hell. Because what the government has done in this ride they're taking us on is basically, you know, all being manipulated and being controlled in every direction. I mean, this is why, you know, it's hard for us to actually have any effect on what's going on unless we do these things that I'm telling you to do. And the most important thing you can do is hold your government and your public servants accountable to the Constitution. This is why we're going through the oath today, and we went through it yesterday. This is why we're going through definitizing the Constitution. This is why we're going through all of these ways that the Constitution is being ignored and violated and so forth. And what we call this, you know, this compendious or this comprehensive positions for campaigning and moving forward for this year and for all years to come until we take this back. But bottom line, there's no more treacherous ride we could be on than the one we're on right now. I mean, there is nothing our federal government, I mean, they're so brazen in telling us that we're their enemy. Folks, we have turned the corner. We have turned a corner that even Thomas Jefferson and James Madison could not foresee. And that's just how, I mean, you know, you'd think that they may have read the Bible and they may have read Revelations, but they didn't talk much about it. There was not a lot of talk in the end of times and so forth. But it is becoming more and more evident and more, you know, prevalent that we are on that path. I mean, they didn't know, and they didn't see it in their near future. I guess I could say that, put it that way. But bottom line, you better start understanding where we are. And again, I honestly think that the, you know, leadership gets people, and true leaders really get people motivated. And I believe when you're looking at and you're dealing with an evil leader, there's nothing that rallies the goodness of humanity and the goodness of mankind and patriots and, you know, the people of this nation to rise up against adversity and against evil, then Biden is the epitome of that leader that I think should be the one that's a catalyst in getting people up. I mean, really, I'm going to go over this quickly because I got less than 5 minutes. The Biden energy policies he is invoking via his executive order, because remember, Congress tried to pass these Green New Deals and they know they can't do it. So what he's doing, he's actually mandating these via his executive privilege, which is all unconstitutional. He has no authority to legislate. He cannot do what he's doing. And if you look at his policies, just putting his executive order and what he's done with just the energy market, folks, remember, we have an enumerated constitution. They have no enumerated power over energy. And he is inflating our currency, and the way he is doing this, and they've created this perfect storm by basically making America dependent. And it wasn't just Biden. It was the Bushes. It was the Clintons. It was the Obamas. It was even before that. It was Nixon. It was the Kennedys. It was Johnson. Carter. I mean, let's not forget Carter. All of these evil men had literally sold out America and made us more and more and more dependent. They opened doors, they put lanes in the road, and they made it easier and more available for the next person to come fill their shoes, to finish, you know, the connections, to finish the processes. And that's exactly what they've been doing. They've been working methodically in selling America downriver. And actually, they're out to destroy. They are committing a war. They're waging a war to destroy America and our Constitution. And this war is raging on. And you're seeing this. There's no doubt in my mind that any patriot that is looking at all of this stuff, when you start connecting all of the dots and how all of this is, you know, literally attacking you from inflation, the energy policies, what's going on in Congress right now by broadcasting the hearings, what they're doing, you know, in attacking patriots and actually perverting the Constitution. Remember, folks, we have a right of petition. They cannot make any law. And what they're doing is basically saying, we are going to shut down your rights to petition. And as far as I'm concerned, I've told you time and time again, the people, the idiots that planned that, because they didn't even consider placing this into context of a First Amendment petition. It was just going to be a rally. It takes everybody off of the scope of what they should have been doing. Everybody, every American, every U.S. citizen has the inalienable right and the constitutional right. It's protected to petition government for the redress of grievances. And this places clear context that what Congress is doing is they're trying to make it so that they're no longer accountable to the people. And this is an absolute perversion of our Constitution. And when we look at all of the other things that are in play, when we look at all of these other things that they're doing to us and how they're basically hurting us, stealing our liberties, and oh, by the way, if you didn't know, they're already buying these pharmaceutical vaccinations. I think 500,000 they just purchased for the monkeypox. The plandemics are not over. And what they're planning, they are planning on waging a biological warfare. If we don't get these people out of office, if we don't get these people out of office, they are going to successfully start killing us. And I don't mean this in, you know, in a sardonic way. They are literally trying to kill us. Their plan is to depopulate the earth. And they know there's reasons why they want to get rid of the older people. You and I, who happen to have gray hair that have been around a little while, we know too much. And these idiots that are running around, they don't want us talking to them. They don't want us deprogramming them because they've already been weaponized to do a very specific job, to empower them and to surrender our liberties to them. So my folks and my friends and my patriots, I can't beg you enough. What is it going to take to get you active and get you involved? Now, I'm probably going to come out with an announcement next week, and it'll be a short announcement. You probably want to listen on Monday. But what I'm going to probably start doing is we're going to probably have a direct engagement. So what we want to do, and let me turn this down a little bit. We will tell you a little bit more about this on Monday because we believe that there are plenty of people that just need a little bit more guidance and have questions and so forth. And that's why we have this comment line. If you've got a question, you need to exploit this comment line and let me know what your questions are. We will help you. We'll be right back after this.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Moby Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so we've been covering the oath of office. We've covered a lot of material. And so currently, what started off to be a 3-4-pager, and it really expanded a lot by me putting these citations on the oath. Because everything stems from the oath of office. I cannot emphasize this enough. It is all about holding our public servants to that oath. And if you didn't listen yesterday, I'm going to repeat the one citation that really, to me, stands out of all of these. It's very short and it's very powerful because this is by James Monroe. And why is this very powerful? Because he was an anti-federalist. In other words, he was not in favor of passing and voting for this Constitution and ratifying it. He was one of Henry's lynchmen, and he was actually friends with James Monroe, but they were on opposite sides. They agreed, you know, in many ways, but in this particular thing, at this point in time, James Monroe was adamant against ratifying the Constitution. And his biggest complaint in the ratification debates was the ability for the federal government to directly tax the states. It wasn't later to where he realized that this was absolutely necessary and ended up voting for and ratifying the Constitution and then becoming a president and serving in many capacities as, you know, as we look at all of the other great framers. He did a lot of good things. He was misled, and I think he got caught up in avarice, but let me just read the citation. Another circumstance will operate in its favor. He's talking about the Constitution that will operate in the favor of the Constitution. In case of a contest, the oath that is to be taken to support it will aid it most powerfully. The influence which the sanction of oaths has on men is irresistible. The religious authority of divine revelation will be quoted to prove propriety of adhering to it and will have great influence in disposing men's minds to maintain it. Now, one of the things that we kind of started getting into is this correlation of oaths and one person's religious conviction. Now, they basically stated that, you know, you could somebody that was godless be able to take an oath and be held accountable and behave better because of the oath? Well, in these days, yes. However, down the road, they realized, and there's no doubt in my mind, this was the divine hand of providence that gave us Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. That now it put it into law that it was no longer honoring or required for, you know, a moral board or an ethics board to kind of review, because we know when corruption occurs, the ethics boards become equally corruptible. So they put it into law that we, the people, could demand the removal of public servants, which is exactly what Section 3 of the 14th Amendment does. This is why the oath is so critical. This is why the focus of the oath is very, very critical. Now, I will give you credit that the John Birch Society has come out and said, hey, we need to hold people accountable to the oath. I don't think there's any good patriot organization out there that wouldn't say that. But none of them are actually out there helping write. I mean, where's the John Birch Society writing First Amendment petitions for the redress of grievances in demanding that we hold people accountable or teaching people to do this? Now, because there's no doubt people listen to this show and they go, oh, you know, we should be doing that. But I'm here to tell you that if we're not uniting, and there's groups out there that say, no, 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 we're going to do this, and this is how we're going to do it, and that's how we're going to play, you need to abandon those groups. We need to abandon any and all groups that do not want to unite with all groups and all patriots in taking back this constitutional republic, in restoring our Constitution. As in the framework, it was designed as the absolute authorized government, the valid government that we're supposed to be operating under. Anyway, this next citation is from a man his name's Mr. Parsons, and this is in Massachusetts. So we've given you Virginia, we've given you North Carolina, now here's a Massachusetts perspective regarding the oath. The honorable gentleman from Boston has stated at large, most of the checks the people have against usurpation and the abuse of power under the proposed Constitution. But the abundance of his matter, he has, in my opinion, omitted two or three, which I shall mention. The oath the several legislative, executive, and judicial officers of the several states take to support the federal Constitution is as effectual a security against the usurpation of the general government as it is against the encroachment of the state governments. For an increase of the powers by usurpation is as clearly a violation of the federal Constitution as a diminution of these powers by private encroachment, and that the oath obliges the officers of the several states as vigorously to oppose the ones as the other check. In other words, what he's saying is that because the states are obligated to support the Constitution as well, this is where we're supposed to be interposing. We're supposed to be stepping up. This is why Madison said the state legislatures are duty-bound to support this Constitution and go after this federal government for all of its violations. This is what he's alluding to at a very high level. But there is another check founded in the nature of the Union, superior to all the parchment checks that can be invented. If there should be a usurpation, it will not be on the former merchant employed and the attentive only to their several occupations. It will be upon the 13 legislatures completely organized, possessed of the confidence of the people, and having the means as well as the inclination successfully to oppose it. Under these circumstances, none but madmen would attempt a usurpation. But, sir, the people themselves have it in their power effectually to resist usurpation without being driven to an appeal to arms. An act of usurpation is not obligatory. It is not law, and any man may be justified in his resistance. Let him be considered as a criminal by the general government, yet only his fellow citizens can convict him. They are his jury, and if they pronounce him innocent, not all of the powers Congress can hurt, not with all of the powers of Congress can hurt him. And innocent, they certainly will pronounce him if the supposed law he resisted was an act of usurpation. The one thing he misses in this point, but he's absolutely right, is the only way they would start getting convictions of tyranny is by actually changing the paradigms of the people and not recognizing what the true government is and perverting their understanding. And that's where we are today. I can't tell you how much I'm seeing bickering in my own community. I'm seeing it across the United States, where literally the spirit of contention and the spirit of division is just incredible. I can't believe it's just overwhelming to see how many times I see people at odds with each other over really, really stupid things. I mean, really stupid things. And so one of the things that I try to emphasize is that if we really start looking at this Constitution, if we really start looking at who has the authority over it, it comes very, very clear that the authority actually comes to the state legislatures. This is what this gentleman stated, and this is why we go through, the argument for interposition versus nullification. You need to read the argument for Republic Review. You need to read the article that I have on the Constitutional Articles page. Folks, I'm not selling you books. I'm giving you these documents so you can go read. And these are academic documents. Go read the citations. Verify that that's exactly the precise language of the citation. And you tell me how I'm wrong. That sounds good, right? That sounds like a pretty decent way of helping people go, oh, okay, well, wow, he's right. That's exactly what it says. And I can't refute what he's saying. We love irrefutable arguments. We really do. And so I'm here to help, and we're here to help place context to all of this. So when it comes down to the oath, they really laid it out during the ratification debates that every citizen, can rely upon this, especially back in those days, this legally binding, because this was a legally bound document, right? Act, because when a public servant raises their arm, they actually documented when and by whom they swore that oath to. And this is all witnessed and everything else. I mean, so this basically is a recorded act. And one of the things that we didn't know is that down the road, they would actually start, oh, well, who cares about that, right? They'd start going down that path and going, so's an oath. What does an oath really mean? Right? Well, Section 3 of the 14th Amendment really brought that back home and anchored the consequences if you violate your oath if you're a public servant. Friends, it's the law, and we need to actually start supporting the Constitution. We'll be right back after this.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADD-LOCAL or visit them on the web at www.addlocal.com.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so
we want to help you understand that, you know, it wasn't just this arbitrary thing. As a matter of fact, they even pointed out that in England, they didn't even take oaths. It was all placed upon the honor of the person, that, you know, the person would, you know, not want to have a bad, you know, rap. They wouldn't want to have, you know, people look at them, you know, poorly, that their reputation meant something to them. Well, it did back then. Today, it means nothing. Maybe in England, there's still people that have, you know, a reputation, and they care about that. They're willing to die to defend their honor and their reputation. But those types of paradigms are gone and dead in America. We cannot count on, as a matter of fact, almost every politician is a chameleon. I mean, they will try to create a persona, and when they're caught, they will deny, they will do everything, they'll blame other people. As a matter of fact, I remember I was told when I was in the Marine Corps, you know, when all else fails, deny everything, admit nothing, and if necessary, create counter-accusations against those who are accusing you of doing something. And that's exactly what they do. That is exactly what an evil person does. They take no responsibility. But one of the things that I've really helped people understand in personal conversations is when you realize this oath of office, when you realize Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, and when you connect the dots to the First Amendment right of petition, that really exposes the divine hand of providence DNA that we're all, I mean, it is within the realm of his kingdom that all are held accountable and responsible for their actions. Now, if we get punished here on earth, that's one thing, but he will hold us all accountable. And, you know, this is the beauty of the gospel of repentance, forgiveness, and all those things, right? Folks, we have to, it is our job when government is running amok, we have to hold them accountable. That is our civil responsibility. We need the unorganized militia. We need the citizen vigilance to step up and hold Biden, actually hold Congress responsible for seating an unconstitutionally formed president, or I should say using an unconstitutionally formed electoral college to seat a president unconstitutionally. There you go. That's a better way of putting it. And in so doing, they basically obscured what they should have done in the first place. What they should have done on January 6th was the House should have gone into chambers and voted in delegates, in a form of delegates. One state gets one vote in choosing the president. And America would not be in this situation today. That's how they have got blood on their hands, and we need to make this the 2022 congressional, the number one issue in the congressional campaign. I'm sorry, there is nothing that surpasses this, because everything that's being played out, this will alleviate, if the left tries to start stacking the courts, getting rid of the Biden administration in January will alleviate that and can be undone. Why? Because the president himself and all of his nominees to the court can be undone because he was unconstitutionally seated. Those appointments to federal courts can be undone because he didn't have the true authority under the Constitution as a chosen president by the people. And as you understand all of this, really, we can really lay this out to say, wow, this is that big. When we're dealing in a constitutional crisis, and the magnitude of this crisis really rips through, I mean, all the money he's spending, as far as I'm concerned, he's a man that took the oath. He knew he had no authority to become president. He needs to be held accountable. All of these people, and this is why we say in this petition that at a minimum, all of the leaders, all the party leaders and players that were involved in the January 6th proceedings, that means Pence and all of them, should be called out on the rug and held accountable. Why did you allow this violation of the Constitution? And folks, we need to open the door during this inquiry and during our broadcasting of holding people accountable to the Constitution. What we need to do is we actually need to start talking about how the Electoral College is no longer being executed in accordance with the Constitution, even more so. Anyway, let's kind of get back to these oaths, because what we want to talk about now, there is a citizen's oath. And I've read it, you know, every once in a while, but we need to read this, because whether we like it or not, we're held to this oath. If you're born into a church and you become it, and technically you can't be born into a church. You actually have to take Christ, you know, and become a citizen in Christ, right? That just can't be done by birth. But in nations and under the jurisdiction of nations, this is done. And so as we are born as U.S. citizens, the oath of a U.S. citizen is inferred. It is applied and it is demanded upon us. We can be drafted, and it is expected of us as a citizen to do our citizen's duty. Voting is one of those things. So this is the oath of the citizen, and what we're going to do is I'm going to highlight the very first part, because this is what a naturalized citizen has to say. I hereby declare an oath that I absolutely and entirely renounce and abjure all allegiance and fidelity to any foreign prince, potent, state, or sovereign of whom or which I have hereto been a subject or citizen. So those words right there is a naturalized portion of the oath of a citizen. In other words, you are not, you know, being held accountable you know, to another potent because you aren't a you're not a foreigner or an immigrant. These people have actually left and abandoned a former state potent or what have you. And I want to be clear here. This also means a theocracy of government, in other words, Islam, because Islam, I mean, it's one thing to practice and worship a god, but to worship and practice a religious government, in other words, applying a religious government within our constitutional republic, such as Islam, is unconstitutional because Islam is a complete perversion. It's the antithesis of the liberty and what we enjoy in America. It is the enemy of our constitutional republic. And it will do everything necessary to basically revolt and actually, I want to say a coup, but I'm at a loss for words. It's actually unconstitutionally removes the sitting government and injects itself as a theocracy. And I don't know if there's really a good word for it, but I'm sure I'll hear from other people. But this is a unique process. It's kind of like a revolution. Actually, it's really almost a civil war in the process itself, because there's a body of people that say, we don't want to have this government. We want to cast this government off, and we want this form of government. Well, our government creates an ability and a process of doing that, which is called the Article 5 process. But these people don't even want to abide by. So actually, here's the word. It's a direct insurrection against the standing government to inject their own. There you go. It's an insurrection. So thank you. I'll put it out there. Thank you for all of those people that were thinking how they can help me when I get tied, because I don't have a script. I'm just reading these citations. So back to the citation, though. This is the real oath of the citizen that you, and it states that I will support and defend the Constitution and laws of the United States of America against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that I will bear arms on behalf of the United States when required by the law. In other words, it's not law unless it's in pursuance to the Constitution. If it is an arbitrary law, then it is not law. See, the thing is, government is not used to people challenging their laws and regulations and statutes that are not founded on the Constitution. Nobody does it anymore, and they have a pile of them. As a matter of fact, over 90% of what they're doing is all unconstitutional. And so, and goes on and says that I will perform non-combatant service in the armed forces, non-combatant service in the armed forces of the United States when required by law, that I will perform work on national importance under civil or civilian direction when required by the law, and that I take this obligation freely without any mental reservation on purpose of evasion, so help me God. And this line right here, without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, so help me God, is an indictment against any Islamic person who has taken this oath of office, because they do so knowing that they will still support the theocracy of Islam and try to inject it into America, to take over America. Folks, I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. And we'll be back with this in our next episode.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.